We want to welcome you to Blessed Hope Bible Church today, and all we want to be is this. We just want to be your source for inspiration and encouragement. And if you have a computer at home and you have access to the internet, check us out at www.bhbcstl.org. www.bhbcstl.org. You can check out our ministry, our statement of faith, what we believe, all of the things that we are up to in terms of what God is doing is right there. And we want to make sure that we're transparent so that you can understand what we're standing for. And we stand for the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We stand for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to conclude our series this morning on heart-to-heart evangelism. Heart-to-heart evangelism. I don't like it when people come to me with big old Bibles like they got all the answers. I don't like it when folk come to me like that. Amen. Come knocking on my door, you know. Got magazines to hand out. I didn't invite them over my house, but they done showed up. They over at my house and they want to tell me how to get to heaven. And they got all the answers. They don't know I got a Bible too. Amen. And this is what I'm finding out as I minister, whether in Europe or whether in Latin America or, of course, here in the United States. I'm discovering this. People want to know what's on the inside of you more than what's on the outside of you. Amen. Folk are tired of you coming up, knocking on their door and calling them in the middle of dinner. How many of y'all like that? Raise your hand. So I can find out how many strange folk we got in this church. Have another altar call. Don't be coming on no Saturday morning knocking on my door. I'm watching my favorite cartoons and you're going to get me up. Amen. Don't act like y'all don't watch cartoons now. Come on, testify. Testify while I have the chance. But I like people who are real, who aren't trying to sell me something like a church. Come to my big old church, my fancy church, my lovely church, my beautiful church. They're not trying to sell me a building. They're not trying to sell me an agenda. But what they're trying to do is give me hope. I like those kind of folk who know what hope looks like, have experienced it for themselves, and are now out on a mission to help others to have the same hope that they have found. Now, I'll listen to them all day long. You know why? Because they're not trying to sell me something. They're not trying to win a debate with a big old Bible talking about this and that and whether Jesus is the Son of God, whether he is divine, whether I should be baptized in Jesus' name and need to speak in tongues. They want to give me hope. And heart-to-heart evangelism is all about giving people hope. You don't need to run out nowhere and tell people to come to Blessed Hope Bible Church when they need Jesus. Now, we'd love them to come here and hear about Jesus, but you are the one who is to take the message, not of Blessed Hope Bible Church, but of Christ to those who are around our community. How many of you know that that's your job? Amen. That's your job, and that's our responsibility. The goal of Blessed Hope is not to fill little blue seats and talk about how full we are. The goal of Blessed Hope is to give those who have no hope in a recession, in two wars, rich getting richer, broke getting broker, that you can make it in times like these. No job. No money, you can still make it. That's what people need, folk. They don't need no building where everybody don't speak to each other. They need a church that loves people, where they can have some hope, where they can come and say, I'm broke, and they will get a hug instead of a When I was preaching in Mexico, I was telling the congregation there, if you've got tithes in one hand and tears in your other hand, and you ask God, which one does he want? I guarantee you, he will always take the tears. And that's the message every last one of you need to be telling folk. You don't need to have folk coming in here joining and giving you a W-2. That's not the church I belong to. I don't preach to people's wallet, their celebrity, or their fame. I preach to this heart, because that's the only thing God is interested in. That's heart-to-heart evangelism, folks. That's what we're doing at Blessed Oak Bible Church. Amen. Amen. And for those of you who say, I'm not that kind of person who shares. Are you saved? Share that. Amen. Yeah, yeah. I remember there was one comedian years ago said something like this, run tell that. Now y'all, oh, no, he done stepped outside. You were outside already. I just went outside to meet with you. He gone on the cable. That's where you was. I'm just coming over to you. Yeah, I said it. I didn't know you was like that. Listen, you can't get away from none of this stuff. You can't get away from any of this stuff. And I'm not saying I'm into it or this or that, but I've heard that verse, that phrase, run, tell that. Well, that's what Jesus is telling you. Run, tell what I did. Amen. He died on the cross, was buried, rose from the dead. Well, on the fourth part, he coming back. Hey, come on, Jesus. Because we messing this world up. How many disciples did Jesus have? He had about 12, didn't he? Some of y'all quiet. Let me tell you how many he had. 12. Jesus had 12 disciples. The most popular of those disciples was who? Peter. Peter was the one whose mouth always got him in trouble. Y'all know that, don't you? Peter was the most famous and popular of all the apostles, those 12 disciples, rather, that Jesus chose. The question that I have for you this morning is this: who led Peter to Jesus? Since Peter was such a big shot, if you will, in the church, who led him to Christ? The answer to that question is his brother, Andrew. Now, we don't hear hardly anything about Andrew, yet it was Andrew that led Peter to Jesus. So what are you saying, Pastor? You may not be all visible and exposed in the church, but you might be the one who leads the next great preacher to Christ. Amen. One of those kids who just shot a police officer running up and down our streets. He might be that one. Y'all don't like hearing that. Y'all just want to throw him in jail. Listen, God made him in his image. God made him in his image. He terrorizing us. That's because he ain't saved. Why he ain't saved? Because you ain't told him how. All these kids, they done gone back. And when the last time you talked to them? That's why they bad. They don't have another option. You not giving them one. Amen? Can I preach just a little bit longer? You don't know who needs salvation. That's why you preach to everybody. Amen. That's why you tell the story to everybody. Because you don't know who the next big one is. I don't either. I have no idea. When I bless babies, especially babies of single mothers, I have no idea. I may be blessing the next pastor of this church. I don't have a clue. God can use anybody he wants to do whatever he wants to, when he wants to, how he wants to, and he doesn't need your approval. That's why you preach. That's why you share. But it's got to come from the heart and not from a book. Y'all say, wait a minute, only the word can save, but that word should be in your heart. I don't need nobody reading verses to me in a language that I can't hardly speak from 1611. You read in English to me, that's 400 years old, and you telling me that I need to understand it to be saved. You know what I need? I need to know how that message can save me from myself. Come on, y'all. Thou dost thee ye yet meet for beneficials and muddy duddy 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 duh. I wasn't born in 1611 and I grew up in Wellston. How am I gonna understand? Evangelism, how we lead the lost, must change, or the lost will stay lost. Did you hear what I said? The lost will stay lost as long as it's thee, thou, ye, thou shall not. Go up to Rain Tree or Oak Hill Terrace, Sunset. Talk to those young men. Thou shall not. You lost your mind. You lost your mind. Well, I don't know why they don't come to church. Oh, I got an idea. I know why. Because if I was one of them and you run up here with your big old Bible, ain't never seen you, you ain't doing nothing for me, ain't even trying to help me, and you go run up here and throw your Bible at me, I'm going to catch it and throw it right back at you. Because I don't know how to connect with this big old book and my problems. But if you have found a solution to life and you holding back, I need you to come and bring it from here. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? And if you understand that, you understand heart-to-heart evangelism. Join me in the Word of God in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. We're talking about reaching people heart-to-heart, loving them first, preaching to them second. Amen. Love them first, preach to them second. That's what you got to do. Love them, love them, love them. I can't love them folk. Then you don't preach to them. Don't say nothing to them. But remember who loved you when you was a mess. Don't forget about that part. I can't stand them. What if God said that about you? What if he said that about you? If God loves everybody, guess what you ought to be doing? Love everybody. I don't know, Pastor. Yes, I did say love gay people. Yes, I did say love bisexual people. Yes, I did say love Muslims. Yes, I did say love Hindus. Yes, I did say love Jews and every other religion that is not like us. Why? Because Jesus said so when he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's why you love them. Amen? That's why you love them. Love everybody. Don't hate nobody. We got enough hate in the world. We got enough folk ain't speaking to each other in the world. I know ain't is not a word, young people. Forgive me. Is not. Amen. We got enough of that foolishness. Love everybody. All right, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak, and we're talking about John the Baptist, and followed him was Jesus, or was Andrew, forgive me, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld Peter, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, or John. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, just reading this passage, and yes, I read it out of the King James, Seth, the Lord, Seth. You read it, and it doesn't appear to be a whole lot of meat about how we're to do or conduct heart-to-heart evangelism. And I was sharing with my wife, I was looking at this passage right before I was to go to Mexico, and I sat down to try to craft what would be this morning's message, and I didn't get nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And I've learned over 30 years of preaching, if God ain't speaking, don't make up something. Just wait on him. And so around 9 o'clock that night, before I had to leave at 4 a.m. the next morning, I'm sitting there at my computer going, you're not gonna give this to me, are you? You just not gonna share it. You ain't gonna tell me what to do with this message. Now you done gave me this verse and you're not talking, are you? So I hit that button where it says, shut down. I said, Lord, you're gonna have to do something when I get back. And that's what the Lord did. Because you look at this verse and you go, what does this have to do with evangelism? What's going on here? There are two things I want you to get out of this text this morning. Number one, and it all concerns Andrew because he's the main character. It's not Jesus, it's not Andrew, or not Peter, forgive me. It's Andrew. He's the main man in this story. And this is one of the only stories he's the main man in. After that, he moves off the scene and Peter takes over. So let's find out two things about Andrew. Number one, he had a desire to know Jesus. He had a desire to know Jesus. And number two, he had a passion for sharing Christ with his brother. Number one, he had a desire to know Jesus. And number two, he had a passion to share Christ with others. Now, Andrew starts out as a disciple, but not as a disciple of Jesus, but of John the Baptist. In fact, no doubt he was helping John the Baptist do baptism in the River Jordan. Now, we don't know if he assisted John when John baptized Jesus. The scripture doesn't give us enough of that. But we do know that he supported and assisted him with his ministry. And John the Baptist's message was this: repent. Turn your life around. Jesus is on his way. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, turn your life around. Jesus is on his way, and he not playing. He ain't playing. He is not playing. Andrew hears John say something, and I want to show you something about the providence of God. Many times we read the Bible, and I want to give you a clue on how to read the Bible when you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus never, never, never does anything by accident. You'll read about a miracle when he was walking through Jericho. An old blind man called out to him. That was not an accident. He didn't just happen to be in Jericho. You hear about Jesus, and he was ministering, and a woman who had a hemorrhaging in her body for 12 years and was broke as she could be, touched the hem of his garment. He knew she was coming. The woman who said, Lord, deliver my demon-possessed teenager. Some of y'all said, mm-hmm. And then Jesus said, no. And then he turned around and said, okay, I'll do it. He knew exactly what he was up to. He was letting the woman know, I'm not just a doctor, I'm a savior. Yes. Amen. Everything that Jesus does, it is not by accident, it is by incident, and he's always teaching. And if you can read the scripture with that thought in mind, it will help you to unlock some things as you go through his life. Now here we're told that he was walking past. Who did he walk past? John. Why would he be walking past John when John just baptized him yesterday? Oh, you see how the scripture can be just fun to study. Why is Jesus walking by John when John just baptized him? You know why? So that John would say these words, behold the Lamb of God. Yes. This is no accident, folks. This was a setup. And Andrew and another disciple hears John the Baptist say, "There he is." And Andrew said, "What? There he is. Why are we following you? Let's go and follow him." So Andrew and the other disciple, they leave to follow Jesus. Why? Because Andrew had a desire not to just serve in somebody's ministry. He wanted to know Jesus. He was not just looking for a prophet. He was looking for a savior. And he wasn't saying anything to discredit John's message, but you have to understand, John baptized, Jesus saves. And so Andrew is looking at the situation and saying, "Wait a minute, I can understand the message of repentance and baptism, but I need to follow some hope right now." Because when you're following Jesus, you're not just following a man. You're not just following somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. You're following hope. You're following joy. You're following peace. You're following satisfaction. You're following all the wonderful things that come from heaven above, where the Father of lights never, ever changes. When you're following Jesus, you're following the best one you can follow. You're not just following him and all your load is so heavy and all of this. Look, there is joy in following Jesus. Well, don't we have to bear this old cross? It's better than bearing the crack pipe. It's better than going gambling. It's better than being messed up with some STD. It's better than being locked up. Better than a messed up marriage. Better than a messed up mind. Give me that cross. I'll take that cross over the club any day. Oh, y'all don't have any fun. You ain't having no fun either. That's why you up in here. As the young people say, you ain't having no fun either. This is all about joy. You following Jesus, you should be excited. Yes. You should be happy. Yes. And folks are like, "You crazy." I sure am. I am crazy. He a little touched in the head. Yeah, touched by the hand of the Lord. Yeah, you right. Don't deny any of that. I'm touched. You need to be touched. If someone can come out of the closet and be just as big and bad, why should I retreat from a God who saved me when I was a sinner? Yeah, I'm proud to say I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to be a pastor. Not ashamed to name the name of Jesus, because he's more than just a name. If you can get that in your heart, you got a sermon already. He's more than just a name. He is everything. He's everything that you need. How many of you know he's more than enough? Andrew knew that he was following somebody special, and so are you. And if you're not following Jesus and your life is turned upside down, you need to change who you're following. Whether you're following a messed up lifestyle, the wrong something, the wrong crowd, or the wrong somebody, I guarantee you that Jesus, if you follow him, he will lead you to joy. I didn't say every day will be sunny, but I guarantee you that on the other side, you'll have reason to shout. And some of y'all say, "I don't need to get there. I can shout right now." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second of all, not only did Andrew have a passion to know Christ, he had a passion to share him with others. Verse 41 reads this way: "He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is being interpreted the Christ. "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas,'" which is by interpretation a stone. There are three things that Andrew did. Number one, he found his brother. Number two, he spoke the word to his brother. And number three, he brought his brother to Jesus. And that's heart-to-heart evangelism. It's you getting up out of your cute little blue seat, going out here on the highways and byways, and finding your brother. Who is your brother? Well, somebody once asked Jesus that. Let me tell you, your brother, anybody who you can connect with is your brother. White, black, Asian, Indian, Jewish, whatever. Gay, straight, whatever. That's your brother. Amen? That is your brother. He found his brother. He spoke a word to his brother. And then he brought his brother to Jesus. You want to do heart-to-heart evangelism? You got to do those three things. You got to do those three things. But you got to be connected to Jesus first. Amen? You got to be connected to Jesus first in order to do that. Amen. Because he's the one who will give you the power to do it right. He found his brother. Andrew went looking for Peter because he knew where to find him. And if you have somebody who is close to you, who's not saved, who needs the Lord, you know where to find them, don't you? Yep. Why don't you lift your hand up and say, Pastor, I know where to find them. You know somebody close to you who doesn't know Jesus. And you know where to find them. You know where to go get them, don't you? Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, let me tell you where you might find them. You might find them in a bad marriage. You might find them in the midst of despair. You might find them in a crack house. You might find them homeless. You might find them on the edge and out of options. But all of us know somebody personally whose life is a mess. Your job as a Christian is to find your brother. Who is my brother? The one who you know whose life is a mess and you know just where to find him. And I'm not talking about just looking on by the phone. Go to them personally. Don't email them. Oh, I've been looking for you. Uh-uh. Can we get together? Can we meet? Can we talk? Can we pray? That's heart-to-heart evangelism. It's not, just hook up with me. My email is blah-da-da-da-da at such and such. That's not evangelism. That's electronic communication. Simon left Jesus to go get Peter. Your job is to leave Blessed Hope to go get the Simon Peters of this world, some of whom are committing crime. Got to cancel Bible study because Simon Peter then killed somebody or attempted to. You say, Simon Peter? Yes, Simon Peter, who didn't know the Lord. Well, I don't know about that. Don't you remember that after Jesus found him, he tried to cut a man's ear off? Since y'all need so much scripture up in here. Peter had a mean streak. He had an anger management problem. He had a brief psychosis. And Jesus always had to tell him to chill. And he running up and down the streets of 270, robbing banks, committing crime, carjacking, and smoking crack. And we got to find him. The time to put Simon Peter down has ended. We got to go and pick him up and be patient with him and love him and help him to find a job or whatever else they need. Baby need Pampers, buy them. Baby need formula, go get it. Don't call me and call the board, say I need, you do it. One, two, that's all I expected. Three, hand claps. I ain't buying no formula, I can barely feed myself. And that's why, because you're stingy. You don't need to eat McDonald's every day. You can go and use some of that money to bless somebody who's out on the street with nothing. We got families in here that do this all the time. Church never get a phone call. They always out there doing this kind of stuff. Young lady walked into my office one day with tears, da-da-da-da-da. I said, what you need? Formula for my baby. Okay, I already know the colors of the cans of Enfamil. What color? Yellow? Okay, we got that. What size Pampers? Or is it Loves? See, you got to connect.
Yes.
You got to connect. Now, I'm not going to buy you no cigarettes. You don't need to ask me about that. But if you got a baby that needs, y'all hear me, I ain't giving you no money. But tell me what you need. I'll hook you up. I'll hook you up. But I'm not giving you no money. You don't trust me? I do not. Uh-uh. Where you live, I'll bring the formula over to you and your baby. Amen. And then let's talk about how good God is. He spoke a word to his brother. This was the message of Peter. We have found the Messiah. That's it. That was the message. That was Andrew's message to Peter. We have found the Savior. We have found the Messiah. That's all he said. Wait a minute, shouldn't there be more to that? Nope, not right now. We have found the Messiah. No deep theology, no booklets to hand out. If you sleep, you gotta wake up. No booklets. No big old fancy tracts with glossy covering. Just a man with a passion for Jesus. I found him. Found who? Found the Messiah. Now listen, stop right there. I know the Bible says that the title of Jesus is the Messiah, i.e. the deliverer. But you don't want to go around telling folk who've never read the Bible or know very little about Jesus, you found the Messiah. They'll say the mess of what? You found a mess. A what? They don't know what that is. They don't know the difference between Messiah or a mess. You found, what? You running up and down, going into the neighborhoods and all in the Castle Point over there by Chambers, telling the folk with a big old sign, we found the Messiah. Now what are folk going to do with that? You found it's a mess of something. I don't know what, a mess of. Amen. Yeah, like you degrading the word and the, no. I'm trying to help you understand that everybody they're not born in church. Your neighbors weren't born in church. They watch you getting on your suit, they washing their car. They don't know. Nothing about a Messiah. You on your way to church, they cutting the grass. So the terminology has to change. You up here rushing all, got to get to church in case somebody take your seat. They up there firing up the grill. They looking at you like. They stoking the charcoal. And you gonna go over their house and say, I found the Messiah. What do you do with that? When you got three ribs and some brats and some poke steaks on the grill and you yelling at me. I found the Messiah. Is he hungry? Are these ribs almost done? Instead, and that's his title. We know that. We're church people. We know that. But Buddy don't know that. Buddy don't know that. So you tell Buddy, I have found the answer. Tell him that you found some hope. Tell him you found joy. Tell them you found some peace. Tell them you found healing. Tell them you found deliverance. That's what you tell them. And you don't have to be all big and bad and churchy with it. Just be real. You don't have to come on with your brand new wingtip shoes and your fine black suit looking all big and churchy. Just let them know, hey, you know what I found the other day? I found the answer to all of my problems. My life was a mess. You know what? I found somebody to fix it. That's your message. Not no big old fat message with a big old fat Bible. Leave your Bible at home. What did he say? I said, leave your Bible at home. Don't nobody know what's in that book but you and us. And you run in there with them green gold leaf pages. And then you got, everybody looking at you. That's not evangelism, y'all. That's manipulation. That's indoctrination. That's trying to impress somebody. Tell them that Jesus loved them. And then, don't just be satisfied with telling them, bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. You say, Pastor, I see that Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, but you got to understand something. I ain't got to understand nothing. You need to understand something. Bringing him to Jesus will require you to do things that you may not be comfortable with. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? If their light bill is due, bring them to Jesus. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I think you get the message. If they don't have a ride and they need to go to the grocery store, they got the money, but they need a ride, bring them to Jesus. Y'all with me? No, you're not. Baby needs some new shoes. Carnival right up there at 270 West Florissant. Bring them to Jesus. That's how you do it. That's how you bring Peter to Jesus. You do not bring, you say you're buying souls. Honey, you can't buy a soul. Who told you that? You can't pay for a soul. You know, if you can find that in the Bible, let me know. You can't buy a soul. The only one who can buy a soul is Jesus, and he didn't use money, he used blood. And he's not asking you to shed any. But you need to understand something, that your community is crumbling. It is in chaos. It is a mess. It is toxic. Folk don't want to live here no more. Run up to Jamestown and you can do whatever you want because ain't no cars on the lot. You want to teach your little 16-year-old to drive? Take him up to Jamestown any day. The lot is empty. Why? Because we living up in here. And I'll tell you, talked about that another time. Me and my sons went up to the cinema, Jamestown, what, two nights ago. Six people. Six. And they were still making a racket. I looked over to my oldest son, Justin. I said, Justin, I've already written this movie off. I know they're going to disturb me. I'm just going to sit back and listen to both of them. I'm not even going to get my hopes up that people are going to be quiet. None of the five other people. I was right. But people need Jesus, folks. And businesses have given up on this community. But Blessed Hope better not give up. Folk are moving, and for very good reasons. I would never tell a person, don't move from here. I understand. I'm serious now. I understand. Evangelism is the only means that will save North County. People need to know that there's a better way to live life than the way they're living it. People need to know that they don't have to destroy themselves or live with the regret of poor choices. They can start all over again. People need to know that God has more chances than they got failures. People need to know that ain't nobody perfect but God, and that He'll take them just like they are. People need to know that. They need to know that you love them and that you're willing to do the tangible things, as opposed to saying, I'll pray for you, and you know they out of milk. You know they broke. You know their life is a mess. You just heard the girl curse out her two babies. You know that. And you got to reach out and be able to touch that situation. Well, I might get dirty. Then you're not saved. Because if you're saved, you don't get what they get. They get what you got. I don't want to defile myself. You're not that clean. I don't want to hang around with them. I might get what they got. Then you probably already got what they got. You just hanging out with us. Get what they got. Like you got something so holy, you can walk out on water. Go and walk out on the Mississippi over there. You're not all that. You're not that holy. Outside of the grace of God. Outside of the grace of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want to see your community change for the better? Just a show of hands right now. You need to go get Peter. Quit sitting on this blue little seat. Bring Peter with you to church. Better yet, bring him to Christ. And if he can't make it, find out why and be the solution. Yes. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Amen. If he cannot make it, find out why and solve that problem. Right. Well, I can't make it because these babies, we got that. I will care for the babies while you come in. That's what we need, church. See, we're not in a community where everybody's wealthy and rich and married with two dogs and a nice white picket fence and a beautiful community. We're in ground zero of Satan's kingdom. And we're doing business in a community that's on the verge of destroying itself. All our schools are on the verge of losing accreditation. We're going to lose Jamestown Mall. They're just waiting for their lease to be up, and the stores are leaving. Young men are sagging. We need to do this. This is not something where I'm going to let Pastor do it. You got to do it. You got to step out. And I can't make you do what you don't want to do. But don't come crying about so-and-so running up. We got to shut down the church. That's your fault. If you've not witnessed to somebody in the last 12 months, you eat that. You eat crazy Leroy running the streets like he done lost his mind. You have to eat that. Because you so busy body up and down ministry in your church. God called you to tell men and women about Jesus. Bow your head. Come on. Hallelujah.